It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.
Another episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. I'm Craig.
And I'm Aaron.
And we're back again. Seems like we were just here.
And I think we were just here, to be honest with you.
It's raining outside.
Yeah, it's raining at the Lee Berry Complex, and we're in Studio One this week, and there's a window in studio. There's a window in two of the three studios, I believe.
Yeah, we tried to put as many windows in as we could when we built the joint.
And Studio Two is windowless, I believe.
And Studio Three has a bad habit of just staying cold.
It is cold.
Air runs all the time.
Love it.
It's great.
That's where I like it.
So we're back in Lee Berry Studios, and we've got a whole bunch of stories again.
It's been a good week for strange news.
We actually mined the internet once again.
Once again, digging deep
to find the stories you want to hear.
Yeah, I think.
Stories I want to hear.
Stories I like to read. I know that.
You know, the first story I like is about food. Okay, so our first story, there's a couple reasons we like it. We like Texas.
Yeah.
We like food.
Yep.
Actually, a third thing, we like state fair food.
Yes.
Which we're arguing about because I say state fair food is always funnel cakes, corn dogs, popcorn, stuff like that. You're saying it's actually up a notch.
Yeah.
It's deep fried Oreos, deep fried
Okay, this is my definition of state fair food. You can only find it at the state fair.
But that's not really true.
No, well, maybe.
Because
maybe
I can find deep fried Snickers at a drive-in theater up the street.
Well, then I would scratch that. I haven't seen it, so in my mind.
So you're saying
still,
I'm lying.
I'm not saying you're lying. What I'm saying is, on my list, that's still a state fair food.
Or drive-in food.
Nope, because I haven't seen
it. Okay, whatever. So what happened? What's with Walmart now? You want me to do it or you want to do it?
So, the Texas Walmart opening restaurant that will serve only state fair foods. The bizarre, greasy, and often double-deep fried foods of the State Fair of Texas are iconic and often imitated. But sadly, they only come around once a year. Well, not anymore. Isaac Russo, two-time winner of the Big Tech's Choice Award for Most Creative, is opening State Fair Treats, a restaurant dedicated to serving the finest State Fair fare. Inside his local Walmart.
State Fair?
And then in Plano, Texas, later this month. We may have to take a road trip, Craig.
You know, when we were kids, there was a restaurant in the malls called Carousel.
I remember that, yeah.
And if you will recall, it was all carnival food.
Yes.
They had like popcorn, cotton candy.
Candy apples.
Had tacos, candy apples, that kind of stuff. And they made their business on doing this. So this guy's not really that original.
Well, let's wait. Let's read more, shall we?
Keep reading.
Okay. The menu will feature 45 delectable snacks and treats that have been...
That is a matter of opinion. I'm sure not all of them are delectable.
Yeah, well, that's true. I find 50% of the fair food sounds appealing to me. The menu will feature 45 delectable snacks and treats that have been spotted at various state fairs around the country.
Ooh, there's one. There's one.
Including Russo's own award-winning cookie fries.
Cookie fry.
Smoky bacon margarita.
What? Smoking.
And fried Pop-Tarts.
Woo!
You don't find those at your drive-thru, Craig, under here.
No, you don't.
And deep-fried Cuban rolls.
How do Cubans feel about that?
Are those cigars?
I don't know. Deep fried cigars. Write that down.
At the end of the day, it's incredible that you...
cookie fry!
Craig is trying to make me pass out on mic. And if he ever succeeds, we're not cutting that.
Keep going. Move it on.
At the end of the day, it's...
Cookie fry! At the end of the day, keep going.
Okay, you got close that time. I actually got dizzy.
Okay, keep going.
At the end of the day,
cookie fry. cookie fry. Mama passed me the cookie fry.
You're getting close. Just stop it.
Cookie fry.
You gotta quit.
Some of those cookie fried fries. cookie fry.
Okay. At the end of the day, it's incredible that you have someone like Walmart believing in a small entrepreneurial guy and seeing the potential of what we can bring, Russo told the Dallas Morning News. The State Fair of Texas, for me, has been the greatest blessing that's ever come to my family. And the man, that guy, that's sad. That is a sad
making
statement.
State Fair of Texas, for me, is the greatest blessing. That, I don't know. We got some cookie fries. I can't stop.
Cookie fry, cookie, 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 cookie. She is for cookie fry. He continues, the opportunities that were coming to us because of the State Fair, words can't describe it. I think they just did.
Wow.
Russo and his family have been staples of the State Fair of Texas every year, and Walmart approached him with the idea of opening up a restaurant. If all goes well, Russo plans to take his State Fair restaurant on the road and expand across the country. I think that's a I think it's a swell idea.
Especially if you like cookie fries.
Cookie fries are awesome.
Cookie fry. Okay. So, you know what?
Yeah, you know what?
Crank it up.
All right, here we go. I think we're going to change it.
I think it should be shortened.
Yeah, and different.
Yeah.
But anyway, that music means that it's time for the Athens children chased through the streets by Masked
mean
Clown.
When that music plays, it's time to chase children through Athens? I'll be back.
That song actually means that...
we got another clown story.
That's right.
A repeat offender here.
Creepy.
Creepy clown story.
Yeah.
You?
I got it. Athens children chased through the streets by masked clowns. A group of children were chased by five people dressed in clown costumes with masks Tuesday night, according to Athens Clark County Police. The clowns passed the children as they left the East Athens Community Center on McKinley Drive, where the clowns parked their white panel van. That's scary and by itself, you know. The children between ages 7 and 10 ran away in terror to their respective homes. The report said, I think I would have just run to any home, respective or not.
Yeah, yeah.
A woman overheard the children talking about the incident, which prompted her to call the police. The woman told police she saw the clown's white van driving slowly up Baker Street early that day. It's a nightmare on Baker Street.
Did it say free balloon animals on the side of the...
Police have set up extra patrols in that area.
Wait a minute. So the clowns chased the children as they left East Athens Community Center.
Yeah.
They chased them.
They chased the clowns, chased them.
They were parked in a white van.
Jumping out. And there's, you know what? You've seen how many they can pack in a Volkswagen. I wonder how many
That's
were in
true.
That van.
You know, you never really think about that. That's some kind of a weird black hole they come
That's
out
right.
of.
That's right.
Wow.
There were 500 clowns chasing us. They came out of a van.
You know what? I'm ready to go on a clown hunt. We probably should have a video. We'll go on a clown hunt.
We could start a TV show.
Like a TMZ
a
for
reality
clown,
show.
A TMZ sort
no,
of thing for clowns.
I'm thinking more like History Channel.
There's.
Well, they do. They chase aliens and whatnot.
It'd take us forever to get up to the point of history where we could talk about clowns chasing kids in white vans.
Let's start with Bozo.
P.T. Barnum. We have to go through everything.
That's right.
I just want to go straight to the next story, please.
I take it.
Kissing chickens can spread salmonella, CDC warns.
Dang it.
The Center for Disease Control and Prevention has told you before and is telling you again, kissing chickens can lead to contracting salmonella.
You chicken kissers listening?
What if you cook the chicken, then kiss him?
Now I've done that. Come here, you deep fried chicken from
what
the state fair.
What goes on at your house? The CDC reported in a study released Wednesday that the increased popularity of backyard poultry flocks has coincided with an uptick of salmonella outbreaks associated with live poultry. To figure out the causes of live poultry-associated salmonella, or LPAS.
La Paz.
The CDC
Kedick.
Looked at cases that occurred between 1990 and 2014 and found that some people affected were engaging in risky behaviors, including cuddling, kissing, and in some cases, letting their chickens roam in their bedrooms and bathrooms. What? El Paso affected more than 180 people in 2015, and there were about 150 cases reported during a six-month period in 2012, the year the CDC says such outbreaks peaked. Of the CDC's sample incidents, 62% of patients reported exposure to baby poultry, which includes chicks and ducklings. Of that
62%.
Of that 62%, 49% reported cuddling with baby poultry, 46% reported letting them in their living rooms, kitchens, bedrooms, and bathrooms, 13% reported kissing baby poultry. What is this, Green Acres? Chicken fry! Overall, the CDC concluded poultry are acquiring a new position in many households.
Really?
Instead of being treated as production animals, they are increasingly being considered household pets. No, if you're a chicken, you're considered
food.
Food. They we're going to get letters.
Yeah.
They should have never been allowed in the home, it pointed out. I'm just not even going to keep going on this. And remember, even if your backyard chicken, duck, turkey, whatever,
looks clean,
it still carries bacteria and can shed salmonella intermittently. Dateline. Woman shot by oven while trying to cook waffles.
Wait a minute. I've been waiting on this one.
Okay.
This one got my attention, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay.
And this is not a misprint. Read that headline again.
Woman shot by oven while trying to cook waffles. Was she shot by the oven or she was shot while standing by the oven?
No, she was shot by the oven.
Shot by the oven?
Yes, the oven shot her.
Please explain.
An 18-year-old Florida woman was only slightly injured last week when she was shot by her friend's oven, police said.
Just skip her name.
Miss Walker was visiting a friend in St. Petersburg Monday when they decided they wanted some late-night waffles.
As you do.
Oh, sure. Happens to me all the time.
I go to Waffle House.
So Walker began preheating the oven, unaware that her friend, J.J. Sandy, 25, was storing a magazine from his 45 caliber Glock 21 in the
oven. I don't know if this is a real story.
It's a real story.
You looked it up.
I looked it up.
I don't know if that's impossible.
And this is a good chance to say that we do research these stories. We had to ditch a couple this week because we find out they were not true.
But we make our best effort to make sure they're real stories. And if they're not, they're still entertaining.
So
let's make that disclaimer right now.
Yeah.
If for some reason we start getting letters that something's not right, like someone claims that a round of bullets went off in an oven.
This is a true story, by the way.
I don't know if that's even scientifically sound.
The magazine exploded about 9 p.m., spraying case fragments at high speed and striking Walker. She managed to pick up some of the fragments out of her leg and chest and then took a bus to the hospital where she was treated and released. Sandy told police...
Wait. Wait. She was with a friend and then her friend...
This is in Florida.
They can provide waffles, but they can't provide a car ride?
Maybe they don't drive. Sandy told police he had stored the gun in a drawer, but had stored the magazine in the oven. Four rounds were in the 13-capacity magazine.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. Guns and ammunition references indicate that the 45 caliber bullets commonly used in Glocks can explode at temperatures as low as 280 degrees or even lower. They've been exposed to heat for a long time, which can degrade the structure.
Wait, hold on.
Okay.
They're making waffles.
I'm making waffles.
Why is the oven on?
Because they don't have a toaster. These got to be Eggos.
Okay.
That's not
making waffles. That's heating up a prefabbed thing.
That's making waffles.
Ain't going to cookie fry.
Sandy stated that he does not have a temperature gauge on the oven. Bless his heart. And so he estimates the temperature based on how far the knob is turned, according to the police report, which was obtained by The Times. I observed that the inside of the oven was damaged.
You think? Actually, wait. Again, this is because we're reading these for the first time on the air. In a memorable 2007 episode, the popular science TV show MythBusters found in several experiments that bullets can explode once the oven was hot enough.
Busted that myth all over.
They cannot explain why you're making waffles inside of an oven instead of on top of the stove.
Without a gun barrel to contain the direction of propellant gases, the bullets did not develop enough speed to pierce the glass or steel portions of the oven. The shell casings actually caused more damage than the bullets. How do you like that? Got shot by an oven.
I don't like it.
She's the meat monster.
To be honest, I don't like that we live in a world where people have to bake their waffles. I'm going to be honest with you.
What about living in a world where ovens shoot people?
That's kind of cool. Okay, this next story is definitely about tough love.
You think so?
When you love your family enough that you got to do whatever it takes to bring them back to reality.
Okay.
Australian man calls police on father for burning his marijuana plants. You know where this happened?
Wait a minute. This requires a theme song.
Yeah. A forgot about our theme song. Sorry.
That's okay.
You know where this happened, though?
Where? Tell me.
Humpty-doo. Humpty-doo, Australia. An Australian man called police.
Hey, dude, this is Bill from Humpty-Doo.
No.
My father just burned my pot plant.
Why does he sound like some reefer smoker from America? He's in Australia.
Hey, man, I can't do accents.
I was getting some shrimp on the bobby, and my father came over and... I'm not going to try to do Australian because I can't do it. Hey, mate.
Hey, mate, that's it.
Hey, mate, my father.
You all right? I'm from Humpty-Doo, see?
My father.
It'd be Humpty-Doo.
He's a time a kangaroo down, eh? I don't know what that means.
Hey, I was just going for a Vegemite.
Are we good now? Let's go back to the land down under, where in Humpty-Doo, Australia, an Australian man called police to complain that his father burned his cannabis plants after they had an argument. Police arrived at... a home at Humpty-Doo in the Northern Territory at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday as the angry son confessed to illegally possessing the marijuana plants to report his father's action. This enraged the son.
Sure.
He called us and told us everything, basically. Duty Superintendent Jorgensen said.
Jorgensen,
what did he say?
Get Rigglesworth to come in here.
Get Rigglesworth and Peerless. Police said that fighting between the father and son came to a head after the son moved in a short time ago. As retribution, his father burnt the son's prized cannabis plants in a bonfire on the property. What did they win?
They won at the state fair when he was eating cookie fries.
No. They won, but shortly after, he went on a munchie binge.
Yes.
And ate every bit of what they... Okay.
Vegemite cookie fries.
The son felt this was wrong and reported the matter to police. According to police, no charges were lodged against the son as the plants had been destroyed, but officers were left shaking their heads at the situation. The evidence has been destroyed, as has the son's reputation. People don't usually come forward to say their drug stash has been destroyed or stolen. But there you go.
Humpty-Doo. Hello, police. Yeah, this is Bill down here, right? I'm eating a Vegemite sandwich, minding my own business, and my pops comes over and buns up all my pot.
Was that some kind of a southern, like Tennessee Australian?
Yeah.
Is that like a guy that had lived in Australia,
but
then moved here, and then he was kind of, what was
it? I got these prized pot plants, right? And my father, he lit them on fire.
What I always like about Aaron's impersonations is they might be Ecuadorian in nature, but they're really going to come off as Paris, France. Or in his case, Australian, but they're really some kind of southern whatever.
Yeah. Next story.
Indiana man accused of harassing man hired instead of him, mailing dead animals.
That's
okay,
right.
This headline is actually written really weird. Basically, the guy was mad because he didn't get a job.
Yeah.
So he started harassing.
Somebody else got hit the job he thought
he
deserved.
So he got mad and started harassing the guy that got the job he wanted by sending the person dead animals.
Yes.
And that the headline, the way it's written, does not make a lot of sense. But that's what happened. So an Indiana man has been arrested after allegedly stalking and intimidating a couple because he was not hired as a fourth grade teacher. This is a guy who
fourth grade.
He wasn't hired as that and the basketball coach at Orange County.
Gee, I wonder why
County
he didn't
School.
Get hired.
I don't know. According to the court documents, Travis Terrence, 40, began harassing the man chosen for the position at the Spring Valley School Corporation in French Lick.
What?
And his fiance. Authorities said Terrence attempted to mail packages filled with dead animals, including four skunks and a raccoon, to the victims.
Man, how do you smell-proof a package?
Whew. What is wrong with people? This is like the guy that sent the snake to the lady
yeah,
a couple episodes
the
back.
The live snake.
Live snake, and he didn't, you know, he didn't even send it. I mean, why wouldn't this guy just send a badger? This guy's sending dead animals. Why don't you send
we don't
a
need no stinking badgers.
Send a badger. One of the packages was listed as being sent from the male victim's fiance and was mailed to the Seymour School District Administration building. Two other packages were intercepted by the Indianapolis Post Office. One was listed as being sent from Medora High School's athletic director, and the other was listed as being from the basketball coach at Brownsville High School. The Jasper Post Office intercepted another package containing a dead raccoon. Again, the victim's fiance was listed as the sender, and it also contained a message saying, "Resign. It will not stop." So this guy is mad, and he starts basically throwing all these other people under the bus.
Yeah.
He randomly starts picking other people and starts sending packages from them.
And do you think this was roadkill, or you think he got these animals and killed them or trapped them?
I hope not. I hope it's just roadkill, because there's plenty of roadkill out there.
Is this in Texas again, is it?
It's Indiana.
Okay. I didn't see anything about armadillos.
Authorities also located multiple letters sent to both of the victims' work claiming the male victim had sexual relationship with an underage student.
Oh, my goodness.
One of the letters claiming to be from the 15-year-old reportedly contained a photo, blah, blah. I'm not going into all this.
So the dead animals didn't work, so he started...
So he started framing up people for really bad...
Hi, I'm a 15-year-old boy in this code. Yeah.
Both victims also received voicemails threatening to kill the man's fiance and her baby. This is all over a job.
Yeah.
Investigators also believe Terrence, called the Department of Child Services several times, claiming he was the male victim. This story just gets...
It's strange.
It's just strange.
So anyway, now he's facing...
And he started spray painting explicit and threatening messages.
Wait, this guy's insane.
Yeah. This is the kind of guy that... I'm thinking the school called it out right.
Absolutely.
They made the right call as far as...
Yeah.
But yeah. This is a... Who wrote these? Who picked these stories this week?
He's facing two felony charges of stalking, two felony charges of intimidation, and two felony charges of criminal mischief. Who's he going to teach? Who's he going to teach in jail? I'd like to know.
We're just sticking with this food theme today.
That's okay. I like food.
Sickened Chipotle customer gets a couple dozen burritos as part of settlement. This sounds like Kramer.
It's Kramer.
Kramer.
Done.
All the free coffee he wants.
So if you got painfully ill from eating at a fast food chain, would you ever want to eat there again? The answer for at least one victim of the Chipotle E. coli epidemic was apparently along the lines of, please, sir, I want some more.
Please, ma, can I have some more, please?
As nearly 100 customers sickened after eating at Chipotle last year have reached undisclosed financial settlements with the restaurant chain. One plaintiff's appetizing addendum has
addendum?
Been... Has been
addendum.
Is that it?
Addendum.
Okay, I said that.
You went addendum.
Addendum has been made public. Coupons for free burritos.
And cookie fries.
The 19-year-old woman had gotten sick along with more than 500 other people during a string of foodborne illness outbreaks in Chipotle restaurants across multiple states last year. Her lawyer, Bill Marler.
Not Bill Maher.
No. Has specialized in high-profile food safety cases for decades. Said the teen had racked up about $40,000 in medical bills when she was hospitalized with E. coli after eating at Chipotle.
Do you think he met with her and said, I don't know if you've seen my work, but I'm responsible for the great 1982-16 Big Macs. I once got a guy all the free...
No, it's backwards. He met with her and he said, we're going to get $1 million.
We're getting $1 million.
And then the company called her and said, listen,
how about you just not talk to the lawyer. The lawyer thing's bad. Okay, he's going to
look. We'll make this real easy.
We'll give you free burritos.
How would you like burritos?
Done.
Chipotle agreed to send her a couple dozen free burrito coupons.
I was going to say, they sent her a couple burritos in the mail.
Okay, I missed a sentence. Marler said that while the claim was being resolved, the client said her love for Chipotle had never wavered, even through her sickness. And she wondered if they'd throw in some free burritos as part of the settlement.
So she spouted off, and they used that as, that's what we're going to do.
That's what she said, yeah. I've been doing food poisoning cases since 1993, Marler said. I've never had a client ask for that. And he added, of the 96 people who he represented in the settlements with Chipotle, many said they had been back to eat at the chain. That's weird.
I mean, usually if you get sick, you associate with that and you don't want to go
back.
Especially
that. I mean, that's bad.
That's really bad.
I didn't eat canned pineapple.
It's bad enough what they charge you when you go there, but then you get sick. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm usually sick because of what they're charging.
Hey. Headline, man found naked in historic home drinking pina colada mix. And that headline to me was just funny.
I mean, honestly,
he didn't
that could happen to anybody.
A Jefferson County grand jury indicted a man.
Here you go again. Indicted a man. A Jefferson County grand jury indicted a man.
Indicted a man after investigators say he broke into a historic Port Arthur home, took off all his clothes, and was naked and drinking pina colada mix. Now, that's not pina coladas. He wasn't drinking pina coladas.
He was drinking the sugary straight out
of the bottle.
Yeah,
they tell KDMF.
KFDM.
Okay, the police tell KFDM.
I got the sniffles again today, by the way.
That's all right. Go with it.
There you go.
The grand jury indicted James Duke. I wonder if he's kin to Sir Tooney.
Oh, last week's Sir Tooney.
I'm
surprised we haven't gotten a dead fish in the mail from that guy.
Hey, we got dead animals in the mail coming up, by the way. According to investigators, at about 11 p.m. on July 12th, a Lamar security officer found the suspect inside Whitehaven, a home on Lakeshore Drive owned by somebody.
Doesn't matter. Where'd they find him?
They say he had broken in and was naked. Prosecutors tell us Van Wright admitted taking a bottle filled with pina colada mix from the refrigerator. Or is it pina? Pina?
I say pina.
Okay.
Actually, you're supposed to have a little squiggly on the top.
They don't have it there.
Yeah, that's not there.
They say
that's not the official grammatical term,
no,
squiggly. But
they say he'd broken in and was naked. Prosecutors tell us Van Wright admitted taking a bottle filled with pina colada mix from the refrigerator and drinking it. Investigators say Van Wright told officers and his family.
You got to be somewhere.
No. Investigators say Van Wright told officers his family had left him the home. So he said, this is my home. My family left it to me. Prosecutors say.
Well, that changes the whole story.
Why didn't he have a key?
He went in, he got comfortable, went to the fridge and got something. He thought it was probably pineapple juice.
Lights were on.
Lights were on, and then the cops come and try to bust up the party.
Prosecutors say because of prior convictions for sexual assault and attempted arson, Van Wright could face up to life in prison.
What?
Yes. On enhanced.
Because he was in possession of alcohol? Well, it's not a gun.
I didn't know that he had it. We don't know that he had any alcohol.
This is, you know where this was?
Where?
We mentioned already. Texas again.
It wasn't another Texas.
Those crazy Texans.
Port Arthur, Texas.
I'm going to say something bad about Texas just so they'll start listening. We don't have anybody from Texas listening.
We got anybody from Texas watching?
I don't think anybody's even really watching. I think they're just being nice and logged in. Plainfield police. Sleepy man with heroin spends nearly an hour trying to make milkshake. First of all, is this what goes on in Plainfield? Is this news?
You ever been at Steak and Shake and order a shake and you're like an hour later, hey!
So the guy was on heroin at Steak and Shake?
Maybe.
A man with an apparent sweet tooth.
Yep.
For heroin.
And a sleep deficit.
And allegedly in possession of several bags of heroin, was arrested Tuesday at a Plainfield convenience store after police said he fell asleep while trying to make a milkshake. At approximately 8:58 p.m., Plainfield police officers were dispatched to the Cumberland Farms store at blah, 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 after receiving complaints of a man later identified as a 37-year-old. His name was Randy Valade.
No, his name was Valade. He was just feeling a little amorous.
He was nodding off, too, while spending 40 minutes attempting to make a milkshake, according to the press release. Somebody did a press release?
Sure.
Plainfield. Man falls asleep while on heroin making milkshake at convenience store.
Look here, man.
Police say
milkshakes don't take that long, okay?
Come on, man. I want to make a milkshake. How long is it going to take you to finish that milkshake? Okay, I'll wait for you to finish your nap. Police said they found Valade sleeping inside the store's chill zone with a frozen drink in his hand. Police said a woman identified as 47-year-old Gina Menu was found slumped against a nearby wall outside the store.
Good night.
I hope
that's related.
Both of them are homeless, police said. Where'd they pay for their heroin?
Well, that's why they don't have a home.
Oh, that's why they don't have a home. Yeah. A search found that they were both in possession of numerous bags of heroin. Minnow was also found to have Suboxone. Maybe get some drug dealers out there to send us how you pronounce that.
It's a drug used to treat drug addiction.
That one.
You're on drugs, are you? Here, take this drug.
Here's a Suboxone. It's a narcotic sometimes used to treat drug addiction.
We'll fix you up.
She had that. You ready for this? Forget she had heroin. She had that on her without a prescription.
Oh my gosh. A ticket.
Put her in the clink.
Throw her in the pokey.
Let's see what else. The dude resisted officers' attempts to escort him to a cruiser and had to be restrained. She was charged with possession, or is that him?
Valade
was him, and he was charged with possession of narcotics and interfering with police officer. He was initially held on a $10,000 bond. He has no money.
He'll be
before being released on a promise. He was released on a promise to appear on the recommendation.
I won't make any more milkshakes.
Okay, I promise.
So get this picture right. Think of a convenience store where you can make your own milkshake.
We got that right up the street.
Yeah. So you go in there and there's a guy making a shake.
I know, and he slowly slumps into it.
And you're standing there for like 30 minutes.
Hey, dude, you want to hurry? Dude.
I got a sweet tooth, too.
Dude. Come on, man. My cookie fries are getting stale.
Hurry up, see?
My cookie fries. Okay, everybody. That does it for another episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. I'm Craig.
I'm Aaron.
And remember to get out there and review the podcast and share it with your friends. Rate it. If you can't stop and write a review, be sure you at least rate it. And like I said, tell everybody you know, and visit us on the Facebook page at Two Middle Aged Dudes.
That's right.
And we've got shirts and coffee mugs and stuff out there if you want to get those. And apparently we have a contest coming up.
Contest coming up. We will talk about that next week.
Okay, let's just keep them in suspense.
Yeah.
Cookie fry!
It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.